Okay, it's 9 o'clock, and this is the Security Committee regular meeting, March 5th, 2026, and it's 9 a.m. And do I do the call to order? Yeah.
Yes, please.
Call to order. Diane is here. Amelia's here. Linda Butler's here. Brandon Areno's here. And that's the call to order. Comments from the public. If you wish to speak during comments from the public on items not on the agenda or would like to comment regarding an item appearing in the meeting agenda, please complete a public comment card. We don't only have one person, so I think we can go ahead. Chris Smith from RMA Compliance wants to let us in on some information.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yes, please. That way we can
hear
get
you.
A better recording of it.
Okay. Okay, so as you guys were informed by Areno, there is the RM North Properties has began to put together their compliance committee for their HOA. And in order for them to be able to write violations to our residents and us to write violations to their residents, there has to be a coexistent compliance committee meeting between the two HOAs. So yesterday, the compliance committee voted one of our compliance committee members to be a part of that committee. And we don't know what's going on with North yet, but that's what's going on. Violation-wise, I don't know how it's going to work with you guys because we have our violations. That other HOA will have new violations to be written. And I don't know what your guys' MOU is with them or NBA.
We don't have one.
Yeah, but that's just something we're going to have to deal with in the future or near future because they're actually starting that, and that's going to be something that's come down the line. So I just want to bring that to your attention. Ours has started. Again, we have two members that are going to be a part of that. I'm going to be the staff member that's part of that.
Okay.
Going to the other committee.
Right, right.
And I don't know how that's going to, like I said, involve
work here.
Or be part of you guys.
Right, right.
Yeah, when you see them, would you ask them to reach out to me, please?
Absolutely.
And then we can start working on a contract for our services.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, and hopefully it'll help you guys out with what you guys need.
Right.
With the community.
Money.
Thank you so much because if we don't always get the information.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand why you guys didn't already know about this or this wasn't. We just got it thrown.
Why would
us.
They tell us?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they should.
It's,
I mean, you guys
I know
are the
it's
security
Ranger
part
North.
Of this. Yeah.
And it's been. Tell me, Rancho North Association, that's Retreat Riverview.
That's the...
No, it's Retreats, Riverview, and Residences.
Fairways.
No, not Residences.
The Fairways.
Fairways has been there forever, I thought.
No, those are the ones that just were built. The
three of them.
Sullivan's, yeah. All those houses that came in on the right-hand side. That's all
North. That's going to be their own HOA.
Yeah, that's all North property.
So it'll be... All but three of the residents will be their own HOA. All of Retreats.
All of Riverview.
But the Riverview
not
is
Riverview
not a part of them.
Is not a part of us. That's going to be its own HOA. That's another issue that we're going to have to deal with once that comes
So Retreats
up.
Is going to be part of RMA.
Nope, they're not.
Okay.
They're all, the ones
Rancho
who are going
North
to have
property.
Their own homeowners association are the Retreats, and that's all of them, the 22 in the front also, right?
The Fairways, yeah.
Yeah.
And part
yeah.
of all of them. So.
And Residences, except for three.
Yep.
And that's it?
Yes.
At this point.
The residences east and west are not a part of North, though. That,
yeah, residences. Bob Kyle, that's residences. He's got his own HOA.
Yeah.
So the only person or the only people who are participating in this, then, is the resident or the Retreats?
The Retreats.
And Fairways.
Oh, and the Fairways. Well,
that's Fairways.
So that's 84. Yeah.
But we think that the developer's ready to hand over all of his to the North properties. That's why this is all going down.
So it's just the Retreats, and that's 84 houses. The
right.
early houses were 22, and
the
then
fairways.
The Fairways, you call
How
it.
How many in the Fairways? I just
22.
Is that right?
Six, yes.
Is
it is right.
Okay.
I guarantee you.
I'll have to go because I don't pay attention to stuff, to be honest with you.
If I don't know anything else about development, I know that exactly what these people want to do and what they've done.
Yeah.
And the other section, the new section, is 62. So the total is 84.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll let Rod know to reach out
cool.
and give you any.
Yeah, I just left him a message,
to
too.
Okay. Yeah, because
okay.
It just dropped into our lab last week, so. And we had to put it onto our agenda because of what happened, so to get those people into, you know, the role.
I know the Retreats a few people have come from the retreats have commented to me that they're so unhappy with their HOA. And so, yeah.
Yeah, well.
It's a mess.
You know what, though? It's hard for a new HOA to get off the ground. And I know the gardens, and I used to live in an HOA in Las Vegas, and they had a professional company the same as the gardens.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's all they do. They just come in, and they get the HOA started, and they get...
Well, that's what Retreats has. They have a professional...
company.
Company managing all the money. But that's all they do.
Yeah,
they don't cut the grass. They don't, do the gardening. They don't do any landscaping. They don't do anything for you other than...
Vegas did all of that, and they came to the first meetings, and they set them up, and they got us elected for the members of that HOA board, and they got the board going so that we could manage
this
ourselves.
Here's the situation: there's 84 houses, okay,
yeah.
And so at the time that the first 22 were built. There was a lot of angst and unhappiness about how they were building them. There was no parking. They were not complying with RMA architectural rules, and so that's why they formed their own HOA. Mm. But they still pay RMA dues or a portion. Do they pay the whole thing?
The whole thing.
Okay, they pay the whole thing in RMA dues because they come through the gate and they use the amenities. So that's. It's a pretty big difference between a regular HOA, any HOA, and the way that happened and how it happened and why it happened. Because, because that's the way things happen in here.
Yeah, Bob
right?
didn't want to do what our ARC.
Right, and, exactly, yeah. exactly.
It comes out to about $300 a month for them.
Yeah, between the two. Yeah, right.
And they have to pay yours and...
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to do anything in their HOA. It's just money that we're getting.
Which is...
But you are maintaining all the streets. You're maintaining all the lights. You're maintaining all the... I mean, you're doing all your...
And that is why they're paying. Right.
Yep.
Right. So, and they have the use of the gates. They can, they get a barcode, right?
And part of that is the security part of it. And that's where you guys come in with when that HOA comes in to get your part of that.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the information. Brandon, you want to run through your security,
Security report? All right. The security department continues to prioritize staffing, stability, operational readiness, and proactive community engagement. February updates are as follows. All full-time security department positions are currently filled. Current staffing levels, 7 full-time gate officers, 5 part-time gate officers, 4 full-time patrol officers, 16 employees in total, including 5 probationary employees. 1 part-time employee was hired and is currently in training. Fleet update, vehicle 53 was sent to Caliber Collision for repair of the damage to the rear driver's side door. Technology and infrastructure. In coordination with IT, improvements have been made to gate surveillance systems following monitor upgrades. A 6 monitor configuration is planned for installation at both North and South Gate workstations to enhance 24/7 situational awareness and monitoring capability. And I kind of want to talk about that a little bit. I got with Andy, and we ordered some new monitors because we're having some monitor issues there at the North Gate.
Mm-hmm.
And we plan on replacing the monitors at the North and at the South Gate. The desk is going to get set up to where you're going to have 6 right in front of you, and it's going to be able to have the guards that are working the gates monitor the
What's
surveillance systems 24/7 hours a day.
Wow, so that's really terrific.
It's, it's going to be right there in front of them, so...
Is it? I don't know if IT even has a budget, but is it on IT's budget or is it on our budget?
It was less. It really wasn't that much of a cost to upgrade this equipment. I want to say it was probably Andy spent anywhere from maybe $1,000 total.
Okay.
All the monitors. I mean, there's probably 10 monitors in there right now.
There's 6 of them so far.
Okay. Yeah. So I have to assume they're for you.
Yep. Olaf just got here today. He should be loading up that equipment to go set it up today. So
okay,
Olaf's going to do that. Perfect.
Yep. So I didn't want to touch it and mess up something.
No. So the cost was inconsequential.
Yeah, it
that's
was
a good word, isn't it?
Yeah. It was definitely under my $5,000 spending limit. So I want to understand those cameras that are being monitored. It seems like we have a lot more than six cameras out there.
We do.
Yeah, definitely. We have. It's going to be six monitors. Two of them are going to be for the normal everyday activity that the guard does with the ABDI and the license plate reader.
Okay.
So we have a total of, what did I say? It was about 87 cameras. We have a total of 87 cameras for that are owned by CSD as of right now.
Okay.
And they're spread out all through monitors that are way up top to where a guard can't really, you know, look up if, you know, and monitor them 24/7. It's breaking your neck to look up all the time.
When they're making their rounds and stuff like that.
So then of the 87 cameras, does it have like this one for a minute and then it rifles through so that...
No, it's all cameras playing at one time.
And they're all that big.
Pretty much.
Okay.
So I figured with putting these much monitors, you know, putting six monitors in front, like just right here on your desk.
Where you can't miss it.
Yeah, you could see everything. So it's going to, like I say, it makes it to where it's going to be monitored 24/7. And these are all mainly CSD-owned properties. The only thing that that's like really has nothing to do with this probably is that that one that's in front of Marietta Village. That's not really technically
at
properties.
Just
the roadway.
The intersection.
Yeah, that intersection right there. Everything else, they're going to be able to keep a constant eye on the Rio Oso water tank, the 3B lift station, the water treatment plant, the wastewater plant, all that good stuff, and the office too. So.
I didn't realize we had so many. That's awesome.
I know.
did you know that?
No, I did not know that until the camera meeting.
Yeah.
And Chris... They have, what's your total, Chris?
59,
right.
And so those aren't being monitored 24/7.
I don't think you guys are monitoring those things. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that when we get into the camera.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
I mean, because we're there. It makes sense for everybody that we would be looking at them in the middle of the night when you guys aren't there. But I don't know what yours look at.
Can we wait until we get to the camera?
We're going to wait until we get to the camera section. Thank you. This concludes public comment.
Yep.
Thank you, Chris.
So RMA Association coordination, we continue to enforce the rules. Speed enforcement, I attended the compliance meeting in February. There really wasn't too much that was in regards to us during the conversations with the compliance meeting. The main thing, the working in coordination with them, was the security camera workshop addressing the security cameras, and a lot of useful information came out of that that technology conference that we had, and I look forward to more meetings and getting this camera project underway. It's pretty exciting. So,
thanks.
Yeah. And that concludes my security report.
Okie doke. Oh,
and
Brandon was telling us about the incident report, and he's going to be adding the golf cart incident report.
Yes. So, when I submitted my report, there was an incident that happened later on. It was involving a golf cart crossing the intersection. It had the right of way to do so. It was a green light, and a vehicle that was traveling eastbound. Ran the red light over there on Marietta Parkway and Jackson Highway, clipping the front end of a golf cart, and it ejected the driver of the golf cart out, and he had to be transported to the hospital. So there's a lot of safety concerns when with these golf carts. It seems like almost every weekend there's somebody driving on the highway now. We kind of figured out who it was, but there's really not too much we could do about it. We found out what it is just a matter of the person that they live with needs to keep the keys from them. But other than that, if they get a hold of those keys,
you can go to the hardware store and get a key that works in most golf carts.
So if, I think everybody just needs to reiterate to the community that, a golf cart it's no better than a bike. You're completely exposed to the elements and traffic. And luckily, that golf cart wasn't hit head-on. Mm-hmm. It'd been way worse. Mm-hmm. There could have been a fatality.
I'm just wondering about the Highway Patrol, if we could ask them for a little assistance. I don't know. You can't really always tell when people are going to be doing crazy things, but if there's somebody who is regularly driving on Jackson Highway, we might want to alert the Highway Patrol to that situation.
I'm sure after this incident, when they responded to it, they're kind of aware of the community now and the dangers of crossing that highway. And there is an easement that's, well, it's not really, I don't know what you would call it. I think Chris kind of knows.
We got permission.
You got permission to cross the highway there.
We got permission to cross that highway, and that could be taken away.
Yeah. And there's multiple times where you come across a golf cart turning left. You could only go straight across.
Right.
And there is signs up in the compliance meeting that I just attended yesterday. They talked a lot about signage.
Yeah.
And trying to make the signs more seeable, visible.
Put those lights around them.
Yeah, I suggested yellow or orange signs because a lot of those signs that are at the front gates, if you notice, they blend in with the architecture and the colors and the color scheme.
Right, right.
So they're hard to see.
And, yeah.
You know, so right. I could just imagine everybody else that's... But,
I wonder, where would that be, the signage, would that be something RMA should attend to, or?
It is us, yes.
Yeah, okay.
About painting something on the roadway as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Something
to make them. And some signs. Yeah. This is off topic for 1 minute. I feel like within RMA, I live in the south, but the north also, there's not enough speed limit signs. And there's just not, I mean, people have been driving through this stuff forever, but I think that every so often, and more often than what we have right now, I think that we need to get some more signage out there.
Yeah.
And that, my favorite, when I used to walk the pedestrian path, it's 10 miles an hour, but, you know, most people can't. They don't see it or they don't pay attention. But anyway, that's another story. All right. Moving right along, let's go to the camera workshop update.
We're good.
So it happened a week ago. Yeah. And it was Rod Hart, myself, Chris, Brandon, and Mike Martell. And we basically just kind of got started trying to figure out where we have cameras, how many cameras we have, and I thank you both for bringing that information. It was a lot more than I thought. But the workshop is going to end up being kind of two parts. One is going to be what we have now and what we need to do in the future, and the other part is where are we going to get the money. And one of the things that Mike Martell is still very interested in and wants to continue to pursue it is the security impact fees.
Right.
And I've talked to Cecilia about it. She knows, you know, we've gone over it, and she's really worked and continues to work on trying to figure out who's paid and who hasn't paid and how much money we should have. But she's doing a budget, and she's also still finishing two audits. And so it's important. But it's going to be a while before we can get that all straightened out. I think one of Mike's biggest concerns had to do with money that was spent. Let me see if I am saying this right. Money that was spent that was not appropriate, inappropriated funds. So that is interesting because we have restricted and unrestricted columns in our budget. And in order to do something that involved taking security money from security impact fees to pay for a study about buying the country club, and I don't think it was just the country club, I think it was also the Back Lakes, but I could be wrong about that. You'd have to take the money out of restricted security funds. And I'm not sure how that would have worked. So that's another part of the...
And I'm researching it. I think that's what this mystery...
Oh, yeah, that didn't come from me.
Folder is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you that that's what this mystery folder is. So we... I'll make a... We'll take a look at it.
So, like I said, two parts. I don't know how fast any of this is going to happen. We're having another meeting on Monday, and I think we could... Brandon and Chris are going to a trade show to try and collect more information about cameras and security, all kinds of security situations. The thing that happens here, and I'm sure it happens other places too, we do something up to a point, and then we stop.
Yeah.
And then everything we've done becomes outdated.
Yeah.
And, then
staff changes and the board changes, so we forget what we've done.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I know there was a CIP for these cameras that we're talking about.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why we don't work until the CIP money's done with and the project's completed. Why do they stop in the middle of a project and go on to something else?
I think part of it had to do with that there was some sort of a committee or a group of people who were working on the camera stuff, and then they... It just stopped, you know. I don't know what that was all about exactly, but...
And I think a main focus, especially with, you know, being the head of security, is one of my main focus I want to shift to is to get these security cameras up because they're so beneficial. The two of my main focus, the security cameras and then upgrading the gate entry software.
Right.
And after that... I swear everything's going to be clockwork. It's going to be so much better for the community.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
Okay, so
I think.
Oh, I have something to add when you're done.
Okay, I think the way we're going to try this is just off the top of my head, and what I'll bring up when we get together on Monday. Let's see what we can figure out as far as which cameras are actually. We can actually get a report from, or we can look at the video and see what's going on. I know unless we look, make a point of looking at the video, for the most part, nobody looks at it. Am I right about that? Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I thought.
I mean, there's an incident. Yeah.
Yeah, and so we have over 100 and something, 150, almost 150 cameras, but we don't know what they're doing. So that's definitely one of the focuses that we're going to do, that and figuring out whether they're doing the thing that we need them to do in the community and how much more can they help us, like Brandon said, going forward. So that's going to be the main focus, I think. The money, we're just going to have to wait until we see what we've got. We think we've got some money, but we're not sure. And the other part of this is that Chris and RMA paid for their cameras. We paid for our cameras. So nobody owes anybody any money at
right.
this point. And that's what I know. So we'll keep you updated. I'll have another report before the board meeting, so we'll talk a little bit about what's going on at the board meeting.
Okay. And if I'm talking too much, let me know. But what about the joint ad hoc security?
Oh, right. Yeah. We're not going to, I don't think we're going to, I think we're going to, what we talked about was reinstituting the RMA, CSD, general managers, significant people getting together on a regular basis like we used to. I can't start another
committee.
Ad hoc committee. Yeah. And I'm not sure that that's...
So we did meet maybe just last week, and I think it was last week, and we talked about security. We didn't talk about the cameras. We talked a lot about the barcodes and instituting that program where RMA will give different colored barcodes for non-members, golf club members.
They're doing that.
Permanent residents. Yeah.
They are doing that, yeah.
Yeah, they're working on it. Mm-hmm. I guess they've ordered the barcodes and they have it, so they're... So that's moving forward. I'm excited about that. So what I wanted to mention was that Brandon and Chris are going, like, at the end of the month, I think, to Las Vegas to go to a conference that's going to
look at
security cameras. As part of the travel policy that we have, it says that out-of-state travel has to go to the board for approval. Well, this all came up in between board meetings, so I went ahead and approved it, knowing that it's way less than $5,000, which is my spending authority, and then I'm going to take it to the board for approval this month, and next month I'll take that policy back to the personnel committee, and I'm hoping that the personnel committee will say...
Make adjustments.
Well, yeah, make adjustments, and maybe make it a dollar amount rather than going out of state for board approval.
Right.
I mean, I think that makes more sense, because... It's not like it was in 2012 when going out of state was a bigger deal. It's the same amount of time and money, you know. So,
yeah,
I think it's going to be $1,500, $2,000 maybe for you to go.
It's very
economical,
and it's also, from my perspective, considered part of training.
Because
you're going to get information about all the aspects of what you have to do in your job. So,
what the current standards are.
I would consider that.
But we're going to have a camera following you around.
That's fine.
Right.
Go ahead. I'll wear a body camera the whole time.
Take your body cam. That's it. And I've been instructed to let you know that it's all work, no play.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just don't jinx anything that you may say, because at my last job, I borrowed the warden's truck to take it to a training all the way on the other side of Louisiana, and he said, "Don't crash my truck."
Did you crash his truck, Brandon?
I drowned it.
You drowned it?
Yes. And totaled the whole thing.
Oh my gosh!
I came back. It was raining really bad, and I had one of my coworkers next to me that didn't, you know, he was a city boy just like I was, and we're over here watching these Honda Civics pass through this puddle. It was a big puddle. And he said, well, if those country folks could do it, us city boys could too. Floor it.
Oh, gosh.
So I went through this puddle, and the truck died
Maybe
in the middle of it.
Maybe we should talk about that.
Yeah, I'm just please just don't jinx anything.
You were young. You were a lot younger.
He has full coverage insurance on the vehicle he's renting down there.
That's good.
And be careful, because they drive,
Yeah.
You know.
I got it.
I want to include this little part of the conversation about training, these kind of trade shows being a training.
Oh, that's absolutely a training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, but I just want to make sure that we understand that that's where the budget is going to come from, because right now we're going to get a training budget, but we don't really have one. So if we have an actual training budget, then we can move more confidently through this process.
Perfect.
If they have to. And so just help me out with that when we get into the board meeting. Okay, Amelia?
Yep.
All righty.
Got it.
There's two discussion items, 5 and 6. And I think I'd like to switch them so that we could talk about the update meeting with OE3. Brandon, you want to give us? And it was yesterday?
Yeah. So members, union members from security met with the operators and engineers. And they discussed, I guess, most likely some policy changes, and then they had a special meeting for the patrol afterwards, to which the union did invite me to discuss the proposed job description change. And she was looking at it, and she's going to send it back, and she's requesting to be fully redlined with the changes.
Yes, I think that she wound up getting not the version, because I have to go all the way back to the version that was before the CSO.
Right.
Right? Because that's the last union-approved version of the job descriptions.
Yeah.
And but that even goes back to before we had Patrol 1 and Patrol 2. It was just patrol officer.
Right.
So that's on my list of things to do today. I should be able to have it done
because she said there was only like two red lines on it.
Yeah.
And I told her, well, the job description that I wrote up, it should probably be all red lined because I completely rewrote the whole thing for it to make a lot more sense and be easier.
Right.
So
there were, when I was looking, I collect paper in my house. One would think I was a hoarder. But when I was looking, I had folders full of job descriptions for security. And so when I was looking through them on several occasions, I realized that we had one job description for patrol.
Yes.
And then I believe it was in July, and that was from 21, right?
Mm-hmm.
2021. And then in July 24, we split it, and we had a description for Patrol 2 and Patrol 1. And then
immediately thereafter,
September, then, yeah, you know,
they went to the
powers that be decided that they were going to make people CSO officers. I can't blame it on, I was a voting member of the board also, but anyway, and that was never approved.
By the union.
It was never sent to the union, right. So that's why we're in the situation that we're in right now, because we've been trying to make changes to the job description and make things clearer and get everybody on board with observe and report and what does that mean, and then also
the equipment that they'll use.
Training, and my favorite thing, and I didn't say this at the meeting, but de-escalation training, and that is huge. And it's, I think, one of the single most important things we can do. But anyway, as far as the OE3 is concerned, she wants to have a meeting with everybody.
Yeah, she wants, from what she had, you know, verbally expressed to me yesterday, she would like to have a meeting to pretty much hash everything out to do with, like, the equipment and what everybody's okay with and stuff like that. She did say that she would not be changing anything in the MOU currently until until they go for negotiations.
Okay. So, I'm sorry. I had a thought, and now I don't know what happened to it. But, I know what it's going to say. So, for now, we're operating under the 2000 and...
What it would have been... Which one was the one that the union approved, the 2024 Patrol 1 and Patrol 2?
No, 2000.
So the security patrol, there's no separate then, right?
Mm-mm. Yeah, yeah, when it was all just one security patrol.
Right, so that was 2021.
Okay. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so we're operating now on that contract,
okay,
that situation.
Yeah.
So, and that's why we need to... It came up... Because the CSO version of the operating contract for the security guards was never approved by the
union,
and in addition to that, it's for a variety of reasons not appropriate. It's not a good fit for this community.
And it doesn't make sense.
So, in trying to adjust that and fix that, we ended up, realizing that the union needed to be involved in this. So that's why we're doing this.
I got a question about that.
Okay.
So so if we're going back that far and it takes away Patrol Officer 1 and Patrol Officer 2, and it just has them categorized under one patrol officer, are we going to have to make Patrol Officer 1 and Patrol Officer 2 then? Like, and you know what I mean? Are we going to try to go back to that practice, or are we just going to keep it categorized under one?
No, I think we need two, because there is a difference.
The difference being that the patrol officer two can, like, basically oversee and train the patrol officer one and the gate officers.
Right.
Yeah, and they have a little more responsibility, basically, and they can work the gates if they have to. So I think... I think, and also for contracts, financial parts of the contract, I think that, I don't know this for sure, but Patrol Officer 2 probably has a different grade
Yeah, they get a little bit more money.
They get a little bit little more bit money. More and
so to go further in depth, you also have Gate Officer 1 and Gate Officer 2. Does mm-hmm. now that does this affect them too as well to have one just gate officer?
Yeah, because gate officer, I mean, we're fussing about the patrol officers, but those gate officer positions were never approved by the union either. And there were only minor changes, mainly, you know, making them the 1 and 2 designation. But that Paula did in 2021, so it's got to go back even further than that. Because since I've been here, no job descriptions have ever gone through the union.
So we'll be working on this. I think my own...
I didn't know. I don't know what I don't know.
You're doing a great job.
Thanks.
My own...
I'm doing my best. That I do know.
My own interpretation of why it's a little bit better to have two... They may be doing basically the same jobs, but one may be new, mm-hmm. new people, you know, just learning, just getting trained and stuff. And then the gate officers who've been here longer have an opportunity for a different financial grade and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
I mean, is that... Does that
it
make sense
it makes
to you?
Sense. It makes sense to me because the gate, like the one position is... pretty much entry level.
Right.
The two positions kind of like
is like
a lead position.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, it makes a lot of sense to have it that way.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
That's what we should go for.
Is just the about how much the pay is though. It's kind of if you start somebody off at the fifth level of number one, that's. It's kind of okay, but it's not great. It doesn't make it too enticing to even want to apply. you know what I mean? With the current, you kind of, I feel like the pay for that, for those positions should probably be looked at eventually, but we do what we can.
Salary survey.
that's not in the salary survey. The salary survey is only the non-represented. So their salaries are negotiated in the MOU.
That's what I was just going to say, the union negotiates that. And that's that would be a point to bring up, I guess.
So it's funny that the union was able to negotiate the new salaries for Patrol Officer 1, 2, Gate Officer 1 and 2, but they didn't, you know, add it up that those weren't the same salaries or salary schedules that were on the previous MOU.
Yeah.
Like you would have thought they'd be like, oh, we only had patrol officer. Now we have 1 and 2. What happened? But clearly, that didn't happen.
I think that probably the best way to approach this is now that are aware of 1 and 2 and gates and patrols and all the things that didn't happen that should have happened with the union, we need to fix it. And I think that this is the opportunity mm-hmm. to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And we start the negotiations around July.
Yeah.
And it's my fondest wish to have them done
before.
Right at the beginning, at the calendar year, so that
right.
we don't have to do retroactive
right.
pay for everybody
right.
again.
So, Brandon, can I engage you as ask you to assist us? You've got basically what you want, or you've put together essentially what you think patrol officers 1 and 2, and we need the same thing for gate officers then?
Yeah, I'll definitely look over it. So I'll look over it again just to make sure when we do bring something up,
right?
You know, we're ready to go and it's just...
Right.
Instead of year-long
And the one thing that I think... I'm not exactly sure how to do this, but we need to... the board was in a discussion last time about high risk and... what other terminology for, not having equipment that was lethal. And I don't disagree with that, but we need to decide on that. And one of the reasons why I'm so interested in starting now and in getting people into de-escalation training is because we're going to be operating on a set of equipment that is not non-lethal. It is potentially lethal. So as far as the baton is concerned. So if we want to get this pulled together before we actually have to go into negotiations, I think that along the pretty soon, maybe mm-hmm. not this month, but pretty soon we need to get in agreement here about
exactly.
what we want to do. Okay?
Yes.
All right. So security job, guard job description, I think we've done it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to work on getting the...
I'm going to do the redline version for Shannon, get it over to her. And then I'll also send her the redline versions of, you know, Gate Officer 1 and 2. We might as well look at them all at once.
Right.
And I know
right.
I've made a very small change, now that I'm thinking about it, to the utility worker and the plant operators. I just changed the amount that they can lift from, like, 100 pounds to 50 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So that needs to go over to her, too. And for those little minor things, she'll just write a side letter. She said mm-hmm. she'll always approve something that's, you know, to the benefit of the employee, which lifting less is to their benefit.
Yeah.
Obviously. And our benefit, too.
So she does want to have another meeting.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm hoping she should contact you, right, to pull
yeah.
that together?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh. We'll work on it. And she's very easy to work with, as long as we're talking to her and being...
straightforward.
And just being straightforward mm-hmm. and letting her know what's going on, she's very easy to work with.
Okay. And so we would definitely, the committee would be interested in that meeting, and because she said she wanted, you know, kind of everybody who's involved.
Yeah, she understands she can't have all five board
no,
of directors
no, right.
there.
Because of the Brown Act. But.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
well, unless she brings it to
a meeting.
And she said she'll gladly come to a board meeting if, you
okay.
know.
Well, let's start with this meeting first and
yeah.
Yeah. see if we can, we'll let her know what we plan on doing and how we plan on doing it so that they are involved in it every step of the way.
Exactly.
And that when we are ready to negotiate in July, mm-hmm. we'll have our package ready.
She'll probably love that because she's got to
yeah.
negotiate with everybody.
Yeah. So we're going to try to make it easy for her, and we're going to try to correct the past.
Okay.
Go forward with continued, what's the right word? I don't know, to not let it go, not ignore
right.
the responsibilities that we have.
Okay.
Okay. Any more comments from anybody? Okay. The meeting's adjourned, 9:42.
Sounds good.